All right, well, we got to see some stuff happening with the youth there, and we've got kids with us worshiping in service this morning. Kids, are you here? Yeah. There's a couple of you. Are you excited to be in big church today?
Yeah.
If I ask you a question, you can yell back and you can be loud in here. Are you guys excited to be in big church today?
Yeah.
All right, awesome. Or are some of you just like, yeah, big church, why is there a swimming pool on stage? Like, that's all you've been able to think about so far. Anybody? You'll find out in just a minute. Give it a couple minutes and we'll go there. I'm glad you guys are here. I got to tell you something about big church. If you haven't been in big church with us before, I know when you're upstairs in kids' church, Pastor Jen's high energy, there's loud music and things are bumping and you guys are like going. There's all kinds of fun things happening the whole time. When you come into big church, there's somebody on stage like me today. Sometimes it's Pastor Jeff, sometimes somebody else up here, and sometimes they can talk for a long time. And even with the grown-ups in the room and your parents and the other adults in the room, sometimes it can be too long. They talk too long. And even the grown-ups and the parents and the kids already, yep, amen, preach, brother. Sometimes even the adults in the room can start to zone out and they fade out a little bit. And they might want you to think they're praying when their head kind of comes down a little bit like this during service. But while I'm talking, they're not praying. They're starting to zone out. So if you're a kid in the room, I need your help today. Keep an eye every now and then. Look over to the parent next to you or the person, the grown-up sitting next to you. And if you see them starting to doze off or their heads bowing down like they're praying, you just take your elbow like this and you go like, wake up. So practice that, the person next to you. Make sure, find an adult next to you. Give them a little jab. Practice that. Okay, if you notice them at any point starting to zone out, you give them a little jab and say, wait, wake up. All right, got it. All right, we're going to talk today about all through Scripture, all through the Bible, we see lots of different people and stories of their lives, and we see them do crazy cool things. We see God use them in extraordinary, awesome ways, and we hear the stories of how God moved them and these miracles that happened and these big stories, the way they impacted the world, impacted history. And then we also see them at the beginning of their story, before whatever that crazy story happened, and we see that they're just ordinary people. They were pretty normal men, women, children, normal everyday people. And we see God kind of come into the ordinary and do something extraordinary in their lives. And you guys in Kids Church, you've been talking about one of those people. You've been talking about how he was just kind of an average guy, an ordinary person. And when he met Jesus, Jesus did some extraordinary things through him. How many of you remember the name of the guy you've been talking about? Shout it out. Peter, right. Yep, we're called Average Pete, and you've been talking about Peter. We're going to talk about him today and continue to tell his story and look at his life and see how we can learn that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. So we're going to look at kind of the beginning of his story, where he came from and where he met Jesus, and then we're going to dive into our big idea for the day, which is if I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to give him my all. But kids, I know last time you were in here for our family service, you taught us what we do for the big idea. I don't know if any of the adults remember, so we need to teach them again. Usually when the big idea comes up, there'll be a little cue.
Hey, what's the big idea?
What's the big idea? And then we respond by saying the big idea out loud, right? So let's all say together, if I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to give him my all. Go ahead.
Hey, what's the big idea?
If I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to give him my all. That's our big idea today. And so to hear a little bit about the story of Peter and teach us a little bit about this big idea, Pastor Jen's on her way, and she's going to read a little bit of scripture out of the book of Luke.
All right, but hold on. See, like when we do the big idea, we don't sit there like lame ducks and we're like, whoa. Okay, when you hear that sound, you stand up on your feet and we do motions, okay? So when you hear this sound,
hey, what's the big idea?
Stand up to your feet and you're going to repeat after me. If I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to give him my all. Yeah, you can do way better than that. Okay, so when you hear this sound,
what's the big idea?
If I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to give him my all. All right, that's pretty good. I need my two helpers to come on up. They're going to help me with this Bible story. They have no idea what they got themselves into, but that works.
Hey, what's the big idea?
If I'm going to follow Okay, someone take the button away from my husband. Like, no more. All right, as they're getting ready, I'm going to set up this Bible story. And we're talking about Peter. And one day, Jesus came upon a group of fishermen. And Peter, our friend who we're talking about, was one of them. Now, some of you may be casual fishermen. You may go out once or twice or three times a week doing nasty fishing stuff. But Peter was a professional. He did it day in, day out. Every single day, he would cast his net out. He would reel it in. He would clean fish. He would sell fish and rinse, repeat over and over again. He did it every single day. Until one day, Jesus approached him and asked him if he wanted to turn his routine into an adventure. And that's where we pick up our story today. So we have Peter. Can you wave, Peter? Yeah, this is our take of how we think Peter would look back then. Okay, and then we have Jesus, who's in the dark. You guys got to come out a little better so they can see you. Yes, this is your acting debut, you guys. Come on, like, get it together. Okay, now Jesus was standing by the Sea of Galilee, and a crowd of people came around him and began to listen to the word of God. Well, Jesus saw Peter's boat on the edge of the water, but Peter was not in the boat. Oh, no, Peter. You were on the shore. And you, this way, Derek. Come on. It's hard to find good help. Okay, bend down. And he was cleaning his nets. Why was he cleaning his nets? Because they were out fishing all night, and they had caught absolutely nothing. They were extra exhausted. They had been all night trying to catch anything that they could. But they came home empty-handed. That's right. A total bummer. Okay. I think they get it. We're good. I can see how this is going to go. Should have put the chili in the crock pot. Sorry, Ron, I forgot. Okay. As you can see, Jesus was with Peter, and all of a sudden, Jesus gets an idea. Okay. He gets into the boat. That's right, Jesus. Don't pop a hole, though. Okay, we're good. And asks Peter to get in. That's right, improvisation. And to take him out a little ways beyond the shore so he could teach the people in the crowd in the boat. When he finished speaking to the crowd, he turned to Peter and he said to him, "Let's go into the deeper water. Let's cast out some nets and go catch some fish."
Say what?
That's right. Now remember, Peter had already been up all night fishing and he didn't catch a thing. Not to mention, Peter was the professional. Not to mention, if he was going to go back out to sea, there was no Starbucks to keep him up again. He would have to come all the way back and rewash and re-clean all of his nets from the nasty, dirty salt water. Yeah. Exactly. No one has time for that. So Peter told Jesus, "I've already been there. I already did that, and nothing happened." But Jesus told Peter to trust him. So he did. They went out to the deep part of the water where they had been already all night, and he cast down their nets, and lo and behold, there was fish upon fish. You get a fish, and you get a fish, and where's my fish throwers? And you get a fish, and everyone gets a fish. It's great times. Don't poke any eyeballs out. All right, everyone had fish. Okay, disclaimer, this side over here has way less fish because Pastor Jeff has been eating the fish during the whole thing, all right? But there was so much fish that the nets began to break, and they had to call their friends in to help take the load to the shore. That's right. Now, when Peter saw the miracle that Jesus did, he bowed down and he worshiped him because he knew that he was God. And from that moment on, Peter gave up everything he had to follow Jesus. Give it up for our helpers. Yeah!
Awesome. You can keep that queued up for me, maybe if I make a good point and just play that.
Yay!
Thanks. Yeah. Woo! Thanks, guys. So we see the beginning of Peter. Peter ended up going on, and we see through the rest of Scripture, we see kind of the story of his life. He ended up being one of the main foundations for church as we know it, for millions of people that would follow Jesus and would gather like we do, gather together to celebrate him and to sharpen each other. The whole idea of church, Jesus used Peter to be the foundation of the whole thing. Like, he was a key part of Jesus and his followers all throughout history. And he was, that's pretty extraordinary. But if we look at the very beginning of the story, Peter was just a normal guy. He was just an ordinary dude who was a regular old fisherman. And I think if we could go back and talk to Peter, especially back in those fisherman days when he was just day after day going out to sea, going out to catch fish, sell the fish to make money, to buy some food for his family, rinse, repeat over and over again. If we could talk to Peter back then and ask him, hey, Peter, are you like the smartest guy around? Are you the smartest guy in the world? Are you the smartest guy in this village, in this town? I think Peter would be honest and go, yeah, no, I'm not the smartest guy. I get by, but I'm not the smartest guy in town. There's so-and-so, or I know these people, or I've heard of this guy, this philosopher, a lot smarter than me. And I bet even if we asked Peter, like, hey, are you the best fisherman there is in the world? I'm sure that Peter had run into other fishermen that had had more success than him. He might even go, yeah, you know, I get by, I make a living, but I'm not the greatest in the world. I've met other fishermen that have had way more experience than me. They've been doing it a lot longer. They're way better fishermen than me. Maybe even ask Peter, like, hey, are you like the coolest guy in town? Like, you've got the nicest house and you've got the coolest robes and the best fisherman gear and the nicest boat. At least you've got the nicest stuff. Are you the coolest? And I bet Peter would even go, well, no, I'm not. There's other people that have nicer boats than me. There's people that have nicer things than me. People got nicer clothes, nicer gear. That he was a pretty normal, ordinary guy. But how many of you, I want to ask you kids, how many times have you been in a place or in a situation where you thought, yeah, that person's way smarter than me? Like, you're in school and maybe there's a quiz or there's something, a question that happens, and there's somebody that always knows the answer and you're frustrated because you didn't know the answer and you're like, man, that person's way smarter than me. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah. Or have there been times where you're in gym class or you're at recess and you're trying to play a sport or run a race and there's somebody who's faster than you or better at that sport than you, and you're kind of like, oh man, they're way faster than me, or oh, they're way better than me at this game. Anybody ever felt that way before? No. Sometimes? No? Okay, that's good. I'm sure there's been times where at school there's somebody who always has cooler shoes or a cooler clothes, or they have newer toys or the best new thing, and you're always like, oh yeah, they have way cooler stuff than me, or I'm not as cool as them because I don't wear. Do you ever have those feelings or those thoughts, like, I'm not as fill in the blank as that other person? No. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. If we're all honest with ourselves, we all have those moments. And I want to tell you kids, I'll let you in on a secret. The adults that are around you, the ones that are sitting in this room next to you right now, the ones that are your teachers, the ones that are your other family adults that you know, we all have those moments too. All of us have moments where we go, yeah, I'm not the smartest person, and I kind of feel dumb because I look at somebody else and I go, man, they're way smarter than me. And then I kind of compare myself to them and go, yeah, that makes me dumb because they're smarter. Or, yeah, that person's way faster or better at that game than me, and so I'm no good because they're better than me. Or that person's got a way bigger house and a nicer car than me, so they're better than me, and I'm not any good because they've got nicer stuff than me. We all have those moments where we compare and we make ourselves feel like we're just kind of not that great. We're just average. I'm not really anybody special. I'm just ordinary. But it doesn't help us to focus on comparisons with other people, that they're better than us at whatever thing it is, or they have whatever thing we don't have, and then we make ourselves feel ordinary when we can focus on what God has put inside of each of us and what we do have and the things that we're good at and called to and the purpose that we have. And then when we give that all to Jesus, he does extraordinary things. I saw a cartoon that I watched. How many of you guys like cartoons? I saw a cartoon I want us to read together that kind of made me think of this as I was looking at our topic today. It starts with this dad and his son, and they're looking at superheroes fighting, and it looks like Superman's beating up a bad guy about to win, and the dad says, cool. And then the son says, I wish we had powers. And then when the dad thinks for a minute, he says, hey, you see that guy over there? He's a sad-looking guy with the ugly hat. And the guy says, yeah, watch. Hey, your hat's awesome, and you're awesome for wearing it. And the guy says, thank you. Now look at his face. The dad says, we all have powers. And the son says, cool. See, all of us have power. We all have the power to change the world around us. Even when we just feel like ordinary kids, ordinary guys, ordinary women, we have the power to change the world around us. Even if it's just showing God's love to somebody, even if it's just saying a word of encouragement, we have the power to change the world around us. All right, kids, if you're a kid in the room, stand up on your feet. I want you to repeat this after me. Oh, everybody, all the kids, get up on your feet. I want you to repeat this after me. I have the power to change the world around me. Okay, was that the best you can do? No. Why didn't you do the best you could do the first time? Okay, the adults are going to say it in just a minute, and there's not as many as you as there are the adults. So you're going to have to, like, be twice as loud, twice as strong as them if you're going to keep up. Okay? Okay? Ready? Repeat after me. I have the power to change the world around me. Yeah, awesome. Good job. Okay, you sit down. Okay, adults, the kids aren't the only ones that have the power to change the world around them, right? Yeah. We'll see which service groans louder, the first or second. Stand up to your feet, adults. That was pretty even. That groan was pretty even. Just asking you to stand for 1 minute. All right, repeat after me, adults. I have the power
to change the world around me.
Amen. All right, go ahead and sit down. We all, well, I think the adults might have won, guys. Sorry, they got you outnumbered. You're going to have to bring more friends with you next family service so you get more kids in here and we can beat the adults. Okay, so all of us have power to change the world around us, but a lot of times we can get stuck in, like, selfishness, thinking about ourselves and our own fears and nervousness. And those times where we feel sad or we feel embarrassed or we feel nervous or we're not quite sure what to do. And I want to tell you two things. One, remember that you're not alone in those feelings when you feel that way. When you are in a moment where you feel sad or you feel like you're not as good as somebody else or you're feeling nervous or you're embarrassed, remember you're not alone in that. Everybody else around you, everyone else that's making you feel that way, everyone else in this room, we've all had moments where we felt that way, where we felt anxious, we felt embarrassed, we felt sad. And then the second point is remember God is with you. God is with you in those moments when you're unsure, when you're feeling sad, when you're feeling like you're just ordinary. God is with you in those moments and he can help you through. And when we remember those two things, that we're not alone, we're not the only one that's ever felt that way, and that God is with us, not only can God help us through those moments and help us get through times where we're feeling sad or we're feeling just ordinary, but he can also help us help other people when they're going through those times. And we can be the one saying,
hey, what's the big idea?
What's the big idea? If I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to give him my all. And when we give Jesus our all, he helps us through, and he also makes us somebody that helps other people through. All right, I have a visual for you to show you a little bit of what it's like when something ordinary becomes extraordinary. Because we're talking about even when we're feeling like we're just ordinary people, ordinary kids, ordinary guys, ordinary girls, we don't feel like we're anything special. When we give it all to Jesus, God can do extraordinary things through us. So I've got a couple ordinary ingredients. This is a pitcher of vinegar. It really stinks. Oh, it smells like Easter eggs. It's just a normal ingredient. It's something all of us have in our cabinets at home in the pantry, just vinegar. It kind of stinks. It doesn't taste very good. You can use it for cleaning, other stuff, but it's just totally ordinary. And then in this little dish here, I have some baking soda. Again, something else everybody's got at home. It's in your fridge, maybe in your freezer, or it's sitting in your pantry. But we're going to do something extraordinary with them. I have this hefty Ziploc bag, and I'm going to pour, oh, safety first. Here we go. Does anybody have a fire extinguisher? No. We'll be okay. It'll be fine. We'll see what happens. It wasn't too bad for service. Okay, so I've got a bag of vinegar, just a normal, ordinary ingredient, and I've got this baking soda. I'm going to put it in my paper towel here and make a little bit of a time-release capsule here. We're just going to fold it up like this, a couple of ordinary ingredients, and I'm going to stick it in my Ziploc bag here, and then I'm going to seal it up nice and tight. And we're going to see what happens when we put two ordinary ingredients together. I'm kind of scared. Okay, you ready? Let's see what happens. So we're going to drop that in there, and we'll shake it around a little bit and put those two ordinary ingredients together. Oh, it's foaming. Oh, my goodness. Uh-oh. Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's why there's a swimming pool up here. See, now you understand. All right. So we had two totally ordinary ingredients done, put in the right way, combined together, became something extraordinary. Sounds a lot like our big idea, right?
Hey, what's the big idea?
What's the big idea? If I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to give him my all. So if we give Jesus our all, we're going to follow him and we give him our all. He does something extraordinary in us, even when we just feel like ordinary people. And so I have two lessons to that. If we're going to give Jesus our all, these are the kind of the two things I want us to learn today. And the first one is that I have to make the choice to obey. Just like Peter, he was out fishing all night. He's a fisherman. This is what he does. He knows how to fish. They had a bad night. They went all over the sea, all over the water, looking for fish, throwing the net over and over again. They spent all the time they had, all the energy they had, and they couldn't catch any fish. And along comes this guy teaching people. He sounds like he's smart. He sounds pretty wise. But now he's telling Peter, why don't you go back out over to this spot and throw your net in again? And I'm sure Peter's first thought was like, bro, we've been here all night. I've thrown the net 100 times. There's no fish there. I tried that spot. There's no fish. But Jesus said, trust me. Will you obey? Will you just do it, even though it doesn't totally make sense? And Peter had to make the choice to obey. He had to go, okay, it doesn't make sense. I've got more experience than you as a fisherman, but I'm going to trust what you say, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. And all of a sudden, when he obeyed, he just threw the net where Jesus told him to do it, and all of a sudden, there's more fish than they even know what to do with. Something extraordinary happened. Through his whole life, Peter made lots of mistakes, but the thing that matters is that he made the choice to obey Jesus. And we need to do the same thing, make the choice to obey. And the second is I have to be willing to give God everything. See, Peter had to give up some things in order to make that choice to obey. After he had caught all those fish, Jesus said, hey, leave the fishing behind and come and follow me. He gave him an invitation to follow him. And Peter had a choice to make. He had to give up some things in order to follow Jesus. See, he had to give up money. He was giving up his job. That was his main way to buy food for his family and clothes for his family. It was go out at night of fish, sell the fish, use that money to buy what my family needs. He had to lay that down and give it up to follow Jesus. He had reputation. You know what reputation means? What other people think about you. What everyone else thinks about you, that's the reputation. Peter had to kind of give that up too. He's in a village where lots of people know who he is, and now they're going to be like, oh, that's that crazy guy that was a fisherman, and he just gave it up, and now he's walking around the country with Jesus. Like, people might think he's weird. People might think he's crazy, but he had to not care about his reputation, not care about what people thought of him, and follow Jesus and say, okay, I'm going to obey. He had to give up time. It's going to take time to follow Jesus and not do what he wanted to do, but give it up and do what Jesus is calling him to do. See, we've got a lot of similar choices in a day-to-day basis. You guys have the same kinds of choices all the time. Even your money. You don't have as much money as your parents or some of the adults in the room, but you've got you know, birthday money and allowance and chore money that you're saving up, and it's maybe possible you're saving up for a special toy, a certain stuffed animal you wanted, or some slime materials, or a certain skin on a video game, or whatever thing you're saving for that you wanted. What if God kind of put it on your heart that, hey, there's that other kid over there that had that toy stolen, or he doesn't have as many nice toys as you do, and God sort of leads you to feel like you should spend that money and buy a toy for him instead of buy the toy that you want. It's a choice to obey and a choice to give up money, to go, okay, Jesus, that doesn't make a lot of sense. I worked hard. I've been saving lots of birthday monies for this thing that I wanted. Doesn't make sense to throw my net over there in that part of the water. I've already done that, but I'll trust you and I'll do it, right? Or your reputation, what other people think of you. At school, a lot of times, you know, you have your group of friends and there's people around, and it kind of, we kind of care what other people think about us. We want to be known as the nice person or the funny one or the popular or the good at whatever. But if you see somebody at recess one day that's looking like they're really sad and they're walking alone and you're playing with your friends, you might have to make a choice where you go, yeah, if I go talk to that person that's alone over there, everyone's going to kind of think that I'm weird because they think that person's weird. So I have to not care what people think about me, but I'm going to do what Jesus is calling me to do. I'm going to go talk to that person and be a friend to somebody that needs a friend, even if it makes other people think less of me or think that I'm weird too. Or even our time. We've got, you guys have free time. I know you're going to school, but you've got Saturdays and weekends and the evenings where maybe you like to play video games, or you like to sleep in, or you like to have fun on a Saturday. And what if one day Jesus is kind of revealing to you there's that neighbor down the street who's really sick and needs help raking their leaves, and you sort of have the thought, man, it would be awesome for me to help them rake their leaves. But then Saturday morning comes and you're going to have to decide, am I going to give up my time to do what Jesus is calling me to do, or is it going to be easier to just stay home and play video games or stay home and play with my friends? Am I going to throw my net over there in that deep part of the water where Jesus is telling me there's going to be fish, or am I just going to go, no, I'm good, I've tried that, I'm good on my own, I'll do it, you know, what's fun or what feels good for me to do it today. Are we going to trust Jesus, and are we going to be willing to give God everything? Like, our big idea is,
hey, what's the big idea?
If I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to give him my all, okay. Right?
Oh, wait, Pastor Matt, you have not done the motions like once.
I didn't know there was motions. I was helping Jesus and
Peter.
You think
they were just having a dance party?
What's the big idea?
All right, we need to show him. You need to like do the motions.
Okay.
If I'm going to follow Jesus, I have to give him my...
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
Like more hips.
More hips.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. All right. Well, every week in Kids Church, we... After telling our Bible story and the now what of, like, what, how it applies to our life, we end with a response time. And so this morning, we're going to end with a response of prayer. And so I would like everyone to stand up to their feet. This morning, we sang a song even, Great is Your Faithfulness, and You Have Never Failed Me Yet. And talking about the story of Peter, he had to trust in Jesus to cast that net in order to get all of the blessing and the return. But even though it sounded crazy, even though, like he said, he was up all night, it didn't matter because he chose to obey Jesus, and then the extraordinary happened. And a lot of times we're afraid to trust. We're afraid to take that next step. But a lot of times God won't reveal steps 2, 3, 4 until we take that initial step. And so this morning, if that resonates with you, whether you're 2 or you're 82, being afraid to give God your all, then we're going to say a prayer together that God would help us to be more like Peter. And what we do in Kids Church is when we pray, we put our hands out like this. What we're saying is, God, everything that we have, we're going to surrender it to you. We're going to just focus on you. And this prayer is not just words that I'm saying, because we can repeat a song lyric and we're not really meaning what it's saying. But these words that I'm saying out loud are coming from my heart. And so I encourage you, if that's you this morning, then I want you to pray this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I pray right now that you would have me to have a heart like Peter. Help me be willing to give it my all and to obey you, even if it's scary, even if it's crazy, even if I don't even know what's going to happen. Help me to give it all to you. And Lord, help me to see myself and to see others as you see me and you see them. Help me continue to have a heart for others. Help me to have faith like Peter. In Jesus' name, everyone says. Okay, you got to do it like kids' church. We say, in Jesus' name, amen, and then we do a woot, woot. All right, you ready? In Jesus' name, woo, woo. All right, we love you guys. We hope that you have a great rest of the week. Look for ways to do extraordinary things through Jesus this week. We love you. We'll see you next week.